insufficient, sweetie. You haven't got the kind of love for me. Insufficient, sweetie, you're just as insufficient as can be. The man I love must be a real world speeder with a kiss that kicks like a cult repeater.
Buddy Hamill, who, along with June Sawyers and Charles Troy, will be here for an entire hour. June and Charles, I've known well. Claudia maintains that I interviewed her in bed one Sunday morning.
I was in bed. You were in the studio.
Well, believe me, I'd remember. Believe me. That's what I should have done in that old morning show. I should have had a bed in the studio. You are in the process of manufacturing what is, to my mind, one of the most astonishing gatherings of talent, October 28th to November 4th. You are going to sing all the offerings, you know, 8 days of networking, 5 public concerts. How did you do it? It's called the Chicago Paris Cabaret Connection with an X. How did this notion come to you? You were born in Paris. You stayed for 4 years. Little I know about you, and I haven't seen you enough. And then you gave up singing for a while, and then you became a singer, and then you went to New York, and then you came to Chicago, and then you put together a big Paris show at the old Shea Paul on Rush Street.
Yes.
And it didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
Why?
I was learning too many new songs all at once. I had my cheat sheet, and I just wasn't prepared. And Howard Reich has probably never let it down because of that, because he came and thankfully did not write a review.
So. I'll tell him I sit next to him in this weirdly configured office we have at the Tribune Tower.
Well, Howard seems to be quite enthusiastic about this connection as well.
I'll bet.
For lots of different reasons. I think everybody's kind of getting the buzz. It started in Paris. It started with me looking for cabaret in Paris and not finding it.
When?
In the last 10 years, let's say, the last 15 years. I've been taking my fans in small groups on a cabaret interlude to France. And we'd go to the Lapin Agile, which is the oldest extant cabaret room, still in existence, still vibrantly every night except for Monday nights, at the top of the Montmartre Hill.
Who does that room draw? Does it draw tourists?
It draws tourists, but it does draw French people who know all the songs, too.
Okay.
It's an interesting mix. And Japanese who understand not a word, but who love following along. But I was looking for other cabaret rooms. I mean, there should be, you know, where are they? And if you look in the tourist listings, the Moulin Rouge or the Lido, which are the music hall, larger spectacles that have their naissance from cabaret in the old days, but that's not what we in the States think of as intimate.
Well, it's not what you were looking for either.
And it wasn't what I was looking for.
Let me ask the three of you. Charles Troy has had a fascinating career. He, if memory serves, he went out to New York to make it as a lyricist after college. And was it, what was the show that you saw that told you? I remember what it was.
It was Hair.
I said, I can't do this. I'm going to go get a straight job somewhere. But you have, and you came back and did some straight jobs, as we call them, worked for the family firm for a while, artist, one of the first kind of computer graphic artists.
And very
then,
good, Rick.
And then you, well, my, I just, I only do this show to prove that I'm not senile yet, or not quite senile yet. And then you worked at you were doing some graphic work in a nursing home, and you saw on the schedule of this home that they were doing all manner of, hey, let's all remember the musical Oklahoma. Let's all return to the days of My Fair Lady. And you have become...
He's our master wizard at bringing us into the history of musical theater.
Yeah, no question. Because, and you've seen his show, he is so passionate about it. And so Claudia calls you, and we will detail for you, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why we have the entire hour, everything involved in the Chicago-Paris Cabaret connection. How did Claudia calls you and says, Charles Troy, I really like what you do. You got to do something for me.
Yep. She wanted me to do a presentation. She calls it a razzle-dazzle. She can explain why she calls it a razzle-dazzle. But in any case, she wanted me to do something on the history of cabaret in Chicago. And she told June the same thing. And I said, tell you what, why don't we just combine forces?
Wait, what did she want? She went first one in, gets to do it? What's that about?
Well, I just sort of figured if June does the history... and she's so good at digging into this
indeed
sort of stuff.
She is.
And
but how did we meet? That's the question.
Charles,
that's a story.
And Charles does all the beautiful
images.
And making sense of the whole
process. This is knowing both of them very well. This is a match made in some kind of cabaret heaven.
Isn't it?
It really is. No, it really is.
And Claudia sensed that.
And we introduced them to each other at the Donk House, right?
Yes.
When Elizabeth Doyle was doing her tribute to Berlin Cabaret.
That was earlier this year, February, I believe, yeah. Or give or take, right?
So what did you think, June Sawyers, when you were approached with this idea?
Well,
you obviously have been working on...
Yeah, first of all, I approached Claudia. It was a cabaret concert show at Piano Forte on South Michigan Avenue. I just had a book published from Applause Book on a history of cabaret, the movie and the musical. And then I told Claudia that, and somehow she thought, then of course you're working on this program. I had no idea. But then we talked, and then she thought, well, she asked me, do you want to do maybe a history of cabaret in Chicago?
But this is all full circle because Karen Kohler is a mutual acquaintance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she's in the book.
And she will be joining us to discuss the future of cabaret at one of our roundtables.
And I saw Karen.
Well, it's almost like, I must tell you, it's like I, myself, Aubrey Mumpower and Ben Anderson are only people who are not part of this whole cabaret connection.
We can have you be part of it, you know, anytime
Aubrey,
you want to come.
Aubrey, he's a sound guy. He knows all about this kind of stuff. We got to take a break, but you're going to be here for the whole hour. June Sawyers, Claudia Hamel, and Charles Troy talking about Cabaret Connection. That's Cabaret Connection with an X instead of a T .org. It will give you all the information and show you the astonishing variety of things going on. There are talks, there are performances, there are
workshops.
Singers, workshops. We'll be right back.
Gone and stolen all the flowers I would bring you. Ella doesn't know the lovely melodies I'd sing you. Satchmo couldn't even blow the love songs I would swing you. So I'm challenging
you
to take another chance.
Now, is he part of the whole?
He's part of it too. He'll be with us on Tuesday, October 30th at the Stage 773 for an evening with Faith Prince, our Broadway star. It's coming in. And, oh, not to forget the queen of Chicago's queen of cabaret, Denise Tomasello.
Denise Tomasello. I asked Denise who gave her first review in the old days when I used to get out a little more than I do now. I got to tell you before we go on that Chicago knows best, right? Hit up Facebook and tell this is the stupidest commercial in the history of radio.
Go for it.
Hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m.
Oh, no.
On WGN-TV, your pick may be Chicago's Best. Well, you picked this show, and we thank you for that, and you're not watching whatever Chicago's Best is all about. I need the three of you. Charles Troy, historian. Charles, do you think you ever will write lyrics for a show?
Not a chance.
Okay.
I'm having too much fun doing something that's unique, and there are too many other good lyricists out there.
Well, I'll bet you are, and your schedule is very full. You can go to charlestroy.com. I'm not going to spell that for your smart audience out there. Give me your definition. I have, having covered music in this town a little more energetically when I was younger for so many years, the word cabaret attaches itself to, ooh, that's Liza Minnelli.
So much.
Ooh, that's a movie. Ooh, that's a...
It's many things.
It is... How do you define it, Charles?
I think I'm going to defer to June because she did a wonderful job of defining it in the razzle dazzle that we're going to do together. And I think she'd do a much better job of defining it than I would.
June Sawyers, the stage is yours.
Well, cabaret has there's so many aspects to it. There's so many levels to it. Some associate with, for one extreme, burlesque. Some associate piano bars with it.
Yep.
But either way, it's very intimate. It's singers telling stories. Maybe not their own story, but you know, someone a songwriter's story.
Sure.
But it's them telling the story on a very human, personal, one-to-one level, talking to the audience.
And it's identified in many ways, and I think probably because of that notable film.
Yes.
with Germany of that time.
Yeah, the Weimar Republic.
Right? Yeah, but also very strongly in Paris.
Well,
yes.
Because in 1880, cabaret is born.
Born how, Claudia?
It's born in the back room of a tavern with artists hanging out with each other and sharing their latest poems, their latest scripts, their shadow theater,
it's community. All about community.
Songs, things that are passing under the censor's nose, and a public starts to get wind of this that's quite willing to pay for the drinks in order to be in the company of these artists.
And tell them the name of the club.
Well, there's Le Chat Noir. There's the Lapin Agile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's the Assassin is the first name that was attached. The Assassins.
Wow.
So they or the Hydropathes, the ones who would the water bearers.
The water drinkers.
The
I
water
think
drinkers,
they call them.
Right. So they have this in crowd, and other people want to know what's going on in the in crowd. And I think from there, it was always a group of people. We in the States have a very unique version of cabaret in the one-man show, the one-woman show.
Exactly, yeah.
But
yeah,
in France,
yeah,
it was always about l'équipe, the team. And you'd have six or seven people doing things in the course of the night. And you also could have had a strip of cabaret clubs up and down a street, like the Rue Mouffetard or up in Montmartre. So you could go from 6 in the evening to 6 in the morning, from place to place to place, and just hit up a variety of ways of telling the story.
I have to believe that one of the reasons it may have sort of deviated from that astonishingly romantic, lovely way is economics, too, the club owners say, well, wait a minute, I'm not going to pay six people. I'm going to pay this juggler or whatever, or this poet. Get rid of the poet. And it came down to singer. And that's why the general definition is always
here.
Associated with
that. That would certainly be one reason why it changed in this country.
Another reason?
Well, ground rent had a lot to do with it. But in those early days, there was no reason. It's not that the cabaret artists were getting particularly well paid.
Sure.
They had to have some other jobs as well. But it could be a jumping off place, a tremplin, to getting to the larger music hall, theater, or to be on tour, and therefore make your money elsewhere. So, and in that sense, we have very much the same thing going on, that cabaret still serves as a showcase for new talent or for new material.
Charles, talk to me for a second about that. I mean, is there a lengthy history of people jumping from cabaret to Broadway, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, although it seems to me in this city, in Chicago, it's kind of gone the other way. Am I right?
Yeah.
That a lot of people who've started out as performers in theater settings find they're not getting cast as much as they want. They maybe don't have the look that somebody needs. And then they think, well, to hell with this. I'll do my own cabaret show and express myself.
Well, I think Suzanne Petrie, a name that comes immediately to mind, a great friend of mine and a great actress.
Susie's a great example that she does a lot of theater, but in between, she gets to do her own show. She gets
and they are kind of cabaret, theatrical kind of cabaret presentation. It's not just Suzanne singing. Suzanne has a great voice, but it's Suzanne as
in character
somebody.
Or in a storytelling mode. But you have someone like, you have Karen Mason, and Hampton Calloway, others who've made their names on Broadway. Right. But who will tour with their cabaret shows because Broadway doesn't always keep calling.
Right.
I think the other side of it, though, is the art form itself appeals not just as a way of getting that Broadway gig, but rather having the chance to tell your own truth. You're not just beholden to somebody's character.
Right. You don't have to fall into someone else's costume. That's a lovely way to describe it. Thank the three of you. That's a really lovely way to describe this whole thing.
There's one other side of this.
Sure.
And that's the relationship to the audience. Mm-hmm. So what I've seen is a Broadway star who, wanting to come into the cabaret world, doesn't quite know how to deliver the song to the audience because they're so used to projecting it big.
How to connect.
Intimacy at a 500-seat theater. Right.
It's four walls.
Yeah.
Right. The fourth wall. So how to not have a fourth wall to protect you or whatever. So that, and we will explore, Paul L. Martin is coming in from London, and one of the things that he teaches in London is this, what he calls the golden thread, the special relationship to the audience.
Mm.
And the audience plays such a critical role.
We are nothing without that audience. No question. I've seen the performers feed off the audience, and I see audiences feed on the performer, too.
We have a dialogue going.
We got to take a break, but these lovely three people will be here all the way to 11 o'clock. June Sawyers, Claudia Homel, and Charles Troy. We'll get down to the collaborative effort between Charles and June Sawyers after some commercials and some news. Going to hear Claudia Homel sing a selection made by Charles Troy later in this half hour. I have these lovely people, two of them along with June Sawyers here, talking about the Chicago-Paris Cabaret Connection with an X. I'm not going to say the X is not at the beginning of that. It's connection with an X.org. We'll give you the astonishing lineup. Let's start, if we might, because Charles and June are a huge part of this, that opening day events, you're part of the opening day events, Razzle Dazzle. What does that mean, Charles?
It is Claudia's term for what I used to call multimedia presentation.
Yeah, that's old hat.
Yeah, because multimedia presentation sounds like school.
Razzle Dazzle's getting not bad.
More Razzle Dazzle.
Give them the older.
And she hasn't trademarked it, so you can use it for all your other shows too.
Yeah, there you go.
What's it going to be, June? And what was it like for you to collaborate?
Well, it was a lot of fun, and it still is going to be more fun when we actually do it, present it. But it's a history of cabaret in Chicago in, 1 hour, more or less, with images and live performances.
We'll have Elizabeth Doyle, Bob Maureen, myself, and Holly McGuire to sing some of those iconic Chicago songs that come out of the cabaret world.
So. All right. People out there are thinking, okay, 100 years, like 1918, early 1900s.
110
years.
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
Give me some examples, Charles. What did you find out there? What did you find photographically or image-wise?
We looked for the areas in which cabaret had flourished in Chicago, and some of them produced a lot better material than others. Bronzeville produced some very intriguing images that I could use. Bronzeville was where the black cabaret scene flourished, and it was surprising to me to find out how modest and homely some of the venues were. You know,
But the exterior, anyway.
Yes.
The exteriors looked like nothing.
Yeah.
And the interiors would have the white linen tablecloths and the candles and the small stage and the dance floor. And
people found their way there. I mean, it was not just for African-American audiences.
No, it was the black and tan clubs. It was the black and white audiences listening together.
And you had the stroll. 35th Street, strolling down State Street, that great street. But and it was that part of State Street that's being relished in the song.
Mm. Right? So, Charles, this was a revelatory for you, was it not?
Yes. In fact, one of the other areas of town I'd never even heard of, and I found it out from June, which is called Tower Town. Why was it called Tower Town? Go for it.
Sure, sure.
Because
I've always lived within about five blocks
of
Tower
Town. Well, in the shadow of the water tower.
Sure, sure. Well, talk about that. I mean, what was going on there?
Well, the big club, the famous club associated with Tower Town was, of course, the Dill Pickle Club. Mm-hmm. Not a cabaret in a sense that we may think of cabaret, but it certainly was because everything was going on there. Music, lecture, play. You know, everything was going on there. So that's the heart of Tower Town, near the right across, right down from the street from the Newbury Library, and what was once called Tooker Alley. The sign used to be there; now it's long gone. But that's the heart, the essence of Tower Town. And but there's so many clubs in that area, so many clubs, so many cabarets, drag bars, drag queens, all kinds of characters are in performing, living in that half world called Tower Town.
And by 1920, there was something like 650 theaters, and 110
numbers.
Were being built that next year. You know, I mean, there was just a flourishing of places to get entertained. And theater to cabaret to nightclub, supper club, theater, cabaret. You could spend the whole night doing it. And people did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but they didn't have televisions, you know.
That's right. They didn't even have radio.
And they didn't have the internet.
They didn't have the radio.
We're talking about World War I.
Yeah, sure, sure, sure. Does it make the three of you... Oh, I don't know. I don't want to get too romantic about this whole thing, but does it make you kind of wistful and regretful that you could not have been a part of that scene? Because I know,
oh, absolutely,
Charles. I know you don't often wish, oh, take me back to 1922 or something.
It sure looks like a lot of fun to
me. Yeah.
I think somebody should make a documentary on Tower Town, or a movie, or a play, or something. Because Tower Town, nobody knows about it here, and there's one remnant of it, and that's the plaque called Tower Town Plaque. It's right by Loyola University. It's near Chicago and Michigan. The plaque is still there, but that's it.
But other than that, there are almost no pictures of it. I mean, there was very little for me to go on.
You know, that's what happens to me, too, sometimes when I'm researching a story at the Tribune. I'm thinking, well, of course they took photos of this, but no, they didn't.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Tribune archives wouldn't be a real good resource.
The morgue.
My guess would be not. My guess is they did not have nightclub critics, and they would rather cover things going on at the Ambassador East or at the Pump Room or the Casino Club or one of the ritzier places. That wasn't their audience.
But they covered the White Chapel Club. There's some photographs of that.
Yeah. But I don't know. Who knows? I'm never going to justify the way the Tribune operates then or now. Now, Mr. Kelly's, how would you three? Mr. Kelly's, there's a famous nightclub at Rush and Hubbard where Gibson, Rush and Bellevue, where Gibson's is now. There's kind of a cabaret-ish feel to it because they certainly had a variety of acts, not
major
six
acts
in one night.
And comics, many comics who got their start, or musical theater stars like Barbara Streisand getting their start.
Bette Midler,
sort of in the beginning parts of their careers. I think for me, cabaret includes this notion of anything goes.
Sure.
So why not Lenny Bruce?
Yeah.
Why not?
Mort Saul.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Mr. Kelly's was the scene of a number of LP live albums.
No question. Ella.
Yes.
Sarah Vaughan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. The only two I can think of off the top of my head.
Della Reese.
You're right.
Many.
Yeah. Was it difficult, Claudia, to gather the talent you have gathered for this? You mentioned Denise Tomasello before, but you've also got Spider Saloff and... On and Johnny Rogers. People are flying in on their own dime for this thing.
The filmmaker Cheryl Grant, Karen Kohler is coming in. I'm thrilled to see her again. We have some rising stars within this spectrum. Cynthia Clary and Cindy Firing are relatively new to cabaret. They both come out of the world of opera, but are fabulous cabaret performers. And the French are sending us a delegation of 17 people.
Wow.
It's twice as many people as I was hoping for. And we've helped raise some of the funds to cover some airfares, and we're still raising funds. That's a very broad hint to anybody who cares to help us out. But we do have Clotilde Rouault, whose work takes her around the world. She was just in Japan last week. She works with a lot of very interesting explorations of how people sing all around the world, the vocal sonorities, the colors.
You once said in a story, I think, Claudia, that New York is where you're from. Detroit, originally from Paris, then Detroit. And I think the line was,
you go to New York to be famous and you come to Chicago to do the work. Right.
Can a cabaret artist make a living here?
As a cabaret artist, probably not. I don't think there's very many people in this entire world who can claim to make their living doing that.
Yeah.
The singer pianists are in a much better situation because they're also called on to be music directors and to accompany other musicians. Someone like Becky Menzi can make a living.
Sure.
Denise Tomasello and I have talked about this. You know, the old days of having the 5-day-week steady gig doesn't exist. Neither for the pianists in most cases. So it's a much more difficult setup. And a lot of other artists teach what we do. So that,
as ambitious as the Chicago-Paris cabaret connection with an X is, it will remind people of the depth of cabaret. It will also introduce people, new people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's your hope. It would be my hope to the notion of cabaret, which might lead to, and Charles, you're the real historian. June's a great historian, but you followed this too. Do any of you see a kind of explosion of cabaret in the coming years in Chicago?
Well, I don't know either. Look, it obviously has to be young people who are excited by this, and this is not the kind of music they normally gravitate to. But
I think in part because they haven't been introduced to it.
Well, that's part of it. But I would say one of the things that we discovered was actually at the Uptown Underground, we discovered a whole coterie of young cabaret singers. They're mostly coming to us through musical theater. So the range of musical theater practitioners in their 20s or early 30s who are looking, again, for the opportunity to express themselves.
To work, too.
And to work, and to work with each other. So you have the Shelley Scale program that Carmiana Eberle put together, or I'm noticing Dustin Rothbart putting together his cabaret crew, and there's young performers doing it, sort of finding their way through. One of the things that we've had to peel away is there's no single repertoire for cabaret.
Right, right.
So if you're thinking, oh, American Songbook, well, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole other range of new
stuff
happening. Yeah. And is there any reason why rap can't be part of it? No,
that's right. No, I think that's what might be coming, this whole thing. We have to take one more quick little break. during which I will tell you that Ryan Nobles from CNN joins the Steve Cochran Show on Monday with the latest from Washington, D.C. That ought to be joyful. And the reaction to the Kavanaugh vote. We'll be right back. Cabaret too.
It's interesting because this is the beginning of Clotilde Ruot's version of Billie Holiday's Strange Fruit, and it's very evocative. And
play it under this. Yeah. Play it as we're talking, Aubrey. We'll listen to it.
And you'll just sort of get a sense of how a French person takes a look at our American protest songs as sung by African-American women and creates a whole new experience out of it. And I think that it's one of the aspects of this connection is that we're making those kind of cross-discipline, cross-border, cross-genre.
And cross-century, too. Cross-century. Yeah. Charles Troy, you seem excited by this.
Oh, tremendously. My God, there's so much going on, and there's so much to learn and so much to see. And in a sense, I'm kind of a latecomer to cabaret myself. I'm really a musical theater person.
Sure.
But I'm astonished over the last 4 or 5 years that I've seen it, how beautifully constructed the cabaret shows around town. So personal, so evocative, so strongly constructed, as I said.
And intimate, too.
Yes.
You can learn so much about Charles Troy by going to charlestroy.com, and he does these presentations. I can see in about a year, you and June Sawyer's doing, well, no, I don't want to do My Fair Lady anymore. June and I are doing the history. I'm not kidding. There's really something in that, Charles, because I think that there's a great surprise element, too, that people will remember going to a small club somewhere. And there's a great romantic notion to it all, too. June, what are you working on? What are you writing? You got new books?
I do. I just finished.
Hard to believe. June Sawyer's with a new book.
Book number 26.
It's up there.
Something like that. I forget. But it's completely different. It's Bruce Springsteen's... he's 70 next year. I just finished co-editing a collection of original essays on Springsteen to be published by Rutgers University Press next September.
Wow. Cool stuff. Now, that'd be a cool thing to see Bruce Springsteen in a cabaret. That would be. Claudia, this is such an extraordinary gathering, Chicago-Paris Cabaret Connection with an X.org. You don't seem at all exhausted. How is that possible?
Oh, ask my husband.
In a few weeks,
he's picking up the pieces. He's been picking up the pieces. Well, part of what's keeping us going is that here's something, for example, that is not likely to happen again. Michel Barbier is going to be one of the 17 French folks coming. She's coming on her own nickel.
Wow.
She was the personal secretary to Josephine Baker.
Oh,
from
my
1969
Lord.
To 1971. She has stories to tell.
I'll bet.
She has fabulous stories to tell. And she's a singer-songwriter herself. So she's going to sing some songs in tribute to Josephine at the Alliance Française on the Thursday night, November 1st. She's going to be joined by Greta Pope, Lynn Jordan, Ava Logan, Frida Lee. It's a fabulous lineup of African-American singers from Chicago, tribute to the black culture of Paris, which is a rich 150-year history.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly looking at the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, the music of Nina Simone and Eartha Kitt and Josephine Baker and Bricktop.
Yes, we didn't mention Bricktop.
Bricktop.
Yeah, the Chicago
Bricktop
connection.
Is the Chicago connection.
Yeah.
Because even though she was born in West Virginia, she
grew up.
She grew up. She developed her chops here in the cabaret rooms here to go to Paris and know how to run one. She ran the Duc Lombard so successfully that the next year she's opening up her own place called Chez Bricktop. And who comes into her place but the toniest of Tonys, like the Duke of Windsor and Cole Porter, whom she teaches the Charleston to, and who gives her Miss Otis regrets, mm-hmm. in turn. So you have this relationship that goes on.
What a collaboration that is.
So that the Paris Noir evening Thursday is going to be great. Wednesday is Halloween. So the French don't do Halloween. They tried a few years ago, you know, to do the pumpkin thing. It didn't take. But we've asked the French to give us their take on our Halloween. So they've got skeletons coming out of the closet, and they'll have cat duets. And we have our musical clown, again, somebody who's coming because of Michel Barbier. His name is Clovis, le musicopathe, the musicopath. And he creates all sorts of crazy musical instruments, and he's a musical clown. So we're going to have audiences welcome to be in costume. It's Halloween night at the Old Town School of Folk Music. We will have a roundtable discussion just beforehand and on the economics of cabaret. And if you look at our brochures, you'll see the name of the Uptown Underground there, which has been since closed.
Since closed.
The economics. Because the economics of cabaret. It's a really difficult, very fragile process to open up a club. This year, we're celebrating 20 years of Davenport's, which is totally unusual, right?
That's really something.
And our Monday and Tuesday workshops with Faith Prince and Alex Rybeck, Greta Pope, and Kyle Husted, who's going to bring us burlesque in cabaret, those sessions are going to be held at Davenport's during the day.
I got to tell you, it's not my place to be proud of you, but I am very proud of anybody who could put together an extravaganza, an entertainment extravaganza that is the Chicago-Paris Cabaret Connection with an X.org. And the fact that you have gotten June Sawyers and Charles Troy, neither of them sing very well. Charles actually is.
Well, Charles says, don't make me sing.
Okay.
Don't make me
sing. Then you put these two together to give us a 100 years of cabaret in Chicago.
Listen, let's make sure that folks come Saturday to the Razzle Dazzle on the Women of Song from France, but also Sunday, that's going to be the finale with the 26 singers who will have been working in 40 hours of workshops during the week.
You will be stunned, ladies and gentlemen.
Stunned. We will all be. And then I will crash.
When you go to cabaretconnectionwithanx.org, you will be stunned, and it will be all you need for your entertainment for the month of October and into November.
Well, let's not forget, however, the Chicago Cabaret Professionals will be hosting their 20th gala on October 21st.
Aren't you a nice person?
Well, because I love that organization, and it's an organization like that that the French hope to emulate.
Good.
So let's see what the French can do.
It'd be nice to have the French borrow something from Chicago.
Yes.
You three are really something. It's great to meet you, Claudia Homel and Charles Troy and June Sawyers, and I go way back, and my admiration is boundless for all three of you.
Thank you.
So thank you.